No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba, for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show with Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. All is good in Jetsland again after tonight's 6-0 victory over an overmatched Anaheim Ducks team. The Jets flush the defeat against the Predators, and with the victory tonight, have regained top spot in the Central Division as that three-headed race continues unabated. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Friday night. It was a party at the arena in downtown Winnipeg, and hopefully it'll be a party here tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game show.
A sellout. Yeah, you got to love it. I think it was the fifth sellout of the year. You had the wave happening in the third period, Dave M. I know Dave M. loves that. Obviously, for anybody who normally regularly watches the Illegal Curve post-game show, we are not a fan of the wave. I don't think
it, Drew. Stop. Don't speak on behalf of us all. I have no problem. Whatever fans want to do that pay for
the for the record, I'm now of that opinion as well. Even though I'm not pro wave in that sense, but I don't have if the fans are doing it, they're the ones who pay the money.
Yes. So
I'm not anti wave.
Okay. Thank you. That's
Can we agree though that a wave is more of a baseball or football thing as opposed to hockey?
It's whatever people want to do. Look, it was a sellout crowded rumors tonight. If they wanted to start doing the wave in the middle of Steph Taleb's show, go ahead and do it. It would be a little weird. It wouldn't be necessarily customary for a comedy show. Ezzy, you're gonna be there tomorrow night.
If you
want to get up and start doing the wave because you're feeling it so much, then go right ahead. I promise you security will only kick out at least one of you very quickly.
Well, thank you for that. Dave and I were talking though, if it's 5-0 on a Friday night, yeah, I feel like I'll say this much, that's a little bit more acceptable. And like, you know, people are drinking, it's the weekend, so you know what, maybe Dave, I'm gonna come around, maybe I'm gonna join team wave. Never.
Well, it was a party, as we mentioned, in downtown Winnipeg. The Jets, I like the Jets' new pattern. If they ever give up a goal, you know they're going to lose. As long as they never give up a goal and they get a shutout on every game, then they're gonna win. That's three straight victories now by a shutout, going back to last Friday night in Seattle. The win against Washington on Monday as well was a shutout. Look, this is exactly what you wanted to see. A good team against a bad team, because the Anaheim Ducks charitably can be described as a bad team, playing the second half of a back-to-back, the Ducks now having been shut out two straight nights. Yeah. So you knew that they were, you know, struggling, and the Jets just controlled this game from start to finish. And in that third period, when ostensibly it may have been still a bit of a close game at the start of the third period, the Jets just absolutely stepped on them and ended it with no doubt whatsoever, Mr. Ginsberg.
Yeah, and we're going to give a shout out to Fart Trap because they're watching live in beautiful Hecla, Manitoba. I haven't been there for a while, but I remember going I think I was 15 or 16, went and golfed Hecla. Beautiful golf course. I think you guys have been out in that area much more recently than I have. So shout out to Fart Trap. And as you mentioned, Drew, yeah, I mean, look, Ducks playing the second game of a back-to-back, and, you know, they're not a good team. But, I mean, if the Jets, you know, won this game 2-1 or 3-1, we'd be talking about how the Jets didn't look that impressive against one of the worst teams in the league, right? So I think, you know, the Ducks hung in there, you know, for the first period and a half, two periods. But in the third period, that's really when you could see the Ducks didn't have their legs. Like, there were long stretches of this game, the long stretches of this third period, guys, where, I mean, the Ducks just were scrambling around in their own zone and the Jets were doing whatever they wanted to. Like, you know, Mason Appleton scores with 5.5 seconds left just to add insult to injury, right? Nice pass by Adam Lowry, but
I'll tell you what, Greg Cronin, the Ducks head coach, Dave, did not like that sixth goal by the Winnipeg Jets. You could see that, you know, that good thing that the ref stepped in there, because they were out for some blood on that faceoff with 5.5 seconds to go after the Jets made it 6-0.
Yeah, you're right, Drew. Ross Johnston wasn't out there to make it a 6-1 game for the Ducks. He was definitely out there to, you know, possibly get into a fight or, you know, just show the Jets that, you know, they weren't happy with that 6 goal, as you said. But I mean, what are the Jets going to do, right? Like, they're on the power play. It's late in the game. Like, what are they going to do? Not try to score? Like, I have no problem with that, right? Like, I think, you know, when you're maybe up something ridiculous, like 8-0, then you could make that argument. But in a 5-0 game, and like you're still going to go out there and you're still going to use that opportunity at the very least to execute on your power play, right?
It's not like the Jets put on their first power play unit either there, Dave.
No, that was their second unit.
No, it wasn't. It was Appleton. It was Lowry. Those guys aren't.
Sorry, Drew, their third unit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that wasn't even a regular power play unit, but you know, I understand, you know, so, you know, exactly.
Look what Tracy's saying. Play to the whistles. Absolutely. Yeah. What are the Jets supposed to do there? Are they supposed to decline the penalty and just skate around the ice for the last minute?
Yeah. That's what the Ducks would have had them do, but you're right. You know, I don't have any problem with it. If you can kick a team a little bit while they're down, so be it. Let them stop you. Just like I didn't have a problem when on the Senators took the slap shot into the empty net. There aren't
Ridley Gregg.
Yeah, Ridley Gregg. There aren't any unwritten rules. You want to stop a guy from doing it? Don't let him get into that opportunity. To the victors go the glory. And that applies for empty net goals and power play goals with 6 seconds to go, anything along those lines.
And also, Drew, I still haven't seen the code on what you're supposed to do when there's an empty net. I still haven't seen that. I don't know how the code was violated there, but apparently, you know, that debate is still going on. Obviously, it's not going on. It went on way too long, but you got to love. I mean, Claude Giroux doing that in the shootout, right? Or was that a penalty shot? I forget. I think it was a shootout the other night. I think it was last night, actually. I think he just was channeling his inner Ridley Gregg, right, boys? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you guys saw that slap shot by Claude Giroux in the shootout, but he scored. I think it was the game winning goal in the shootout, just blasting a slapper. So yeah, the Jets played well here. Like they scored some power play goals. You know, I think Mark Scheifele looked excellent, boys, mm-hmm. after missing a game with an illness. He wasn't joking, Dave, when he told you guys, the assembled media today at Canada Life, that he was 100%, because he played like he was 100%. He was excellent tonight, I thought.
Sorry, I'm just catching Daniel Fink's call as the Moose come back to win in a shootout, folks. So the Moose pick up a big 2 points. They only actually had 1 point on Chicago, is the team that they're fighting. So big shootout win for Manitoba. They were down 2-1 coming into the third period, but they come back, tie the game, and I'll save the rest of it for a Moose Minute if you'll indulge me later. But live results right there, Moose win in a shootout. I think it was the fourth round, so kudos to them. But as he's right, I mean, this is one of those, I mean, you're watching this Ducks team, and guys, and look, and they obviously lost guys to injury. Last night, they lost Radko Gudas to the injury. Yep. They lost, what's his name? Who's the young kid with all the talent? Zegras. So they lost Zegras in the game against Minnesota last night. But, I mean, ultimately, what this Ducks team is,
wouldn't have mattered if those guys were in the lineup.
No. Like I said, it's, and you feel bad for John Gibson because, I mean, talk about a wasted career. It really is. Like, it's a shame. Like, when you look at the goalie stats, guys, for the Jets and Connor Hellebuck and the Ducks and John Gibson, there are a lot of parallels between Gibson's career and Connor Hellebuck's career in terms of games played, shots faced, like all of these things. John Gibson is up there along with Connor Hellebuck. And if he would have played as many games as Connor Hellebuck, his numbers, I don't mean like his goals against and his save percentage, but a lot of those stats that Connor Hellebuck has amassed, and we're all like, wow, you know, you could see similar numbers for John Gibson. But talk about unfortunate that they got to trade him at some point, because there's just, I don't see what the vision is to keeping John Gibson. And I suspect you would probably get a decent haul, because in front of a good team, he's probably not he'd still be a pretty good goaltender.
You know, but I think that what Ezzy said, and we're going to interrupt Ezzy as soon as we see Rick Bonus coming up to the dais and joining for his media availability. But I think, Ezzy, what you said was 100% correct, and I want to touch on it, while we have time now, is how important Mark Scheifele's presence was back in the Winnipeg Jets lineup tonight. And, you know, you saw him in the pregame availability. Actually, here's Jets head coach Rick Bonus.
What do you think led to the floodgates opening for you guys tonight? First of all, it was good to see, but yeah, did a lot of good things in those first couple of periods that the puck wasn't going in, so it's nice to see it go in. Yeah.
I think it was, we talked to three players, but was talking about how well the forwards made their decisions once they were in the zone, looking for the defensemen, keeping control, all that sort of stuff. What did you like about that?
I thought we managed the puck so much better tonight going through the neutral zone. We made the right decisions at their blue line. If they were gapped up, then we put it behind them and we went to work. If they gave us the blue line, we made the play. But again, once we got in there, that they gave us a little time. They were a tired team, there's no question. So give them credit. But we hung on to the puck and we were able to make some plays. But the biggest thing was the puck management going through that neutral zone and making the right decision at the blue line. When you do that, you play so much faster. We looked slow against Nashville the other night because we weren't doing those things. So tonight we looked a lot faster because the puck management through the neutral zone was spot on.
Tyler Toffoli gets onto one off the faceoff, another power play goal, then all of a sudden it's chance after chance for him. What can you say about his performance?
Yeah, listen, that's why, you know, we made a good, you know, Chevy made a great trade bringing him in. He's a goal scorer, and we give him the puck in the right spots. He's going to put it on the net, and it's going to go in the net. So that was good to see, and I love the fan reaction to him, right? That was outstanding. We've got such a great fan base here, such great passionate fans, and they acknowledged the importance of those goals and welcome him back to the city again.
Yeah, you even cheered after that last power play shift that you gave him. He was going off the ice to give
him. Yeah, you could hear all the crowd yelling, shoot, so they were pulling for him. So.
Yeah, it goes into the decision because you run power play 2 with Toffoli added and then kind of a different group at the end. You're up 5-0 at that point, but you're still trying to give Toffoli a chance.
Yeah, we kept the first unit off on the bench. We did. We sent out our second unit with trying to get him the hat trick, obviously. And you've got to give those to players when they have that opportunity, give them a chance, give them a hat trick. And then we sent out our third line. That's, you know, all of a sudden they've got 2 power play goals. So, yeah. But again, we kept the first unit on the bench.
Lots of superlatives for your goaltending this season. Another strong performance from LB. I mean, what can you say about this one?
He made some big saves. He did. I thought we gave him a couple of chances that we shouldn't have, and he made the big saves. Timely saves. Yeah, he's been outstanding. So, very, very happy for him.
He was asked about the really stretchy save in the second period, showing off the flexibility. He said maybe he was impatient on it, but he was happy to give the fans something to cheer. But what do you see in plays like that?
How competitive he is. He's a fighter in that net. He battles hard every shift, every shot he's battling. So he may be a little early, but he's a fighter in that net, man. We love both of them. We're lucky to have both of these guys. We've got outstanding goaltending. Wade Flaherty is doing a tremendous job with both of them, so give Flash a lot of credit as well.
Rick, how impressed were you by Mark's performance, considering he was in pretty rough shape about 48 hours ago?
He had a lot of jump tonight, you could tell. And I love one because he wants to be out there when he's got, and when he knows it and I see it, he wants to be on the ice. So, he was feeling a lot stronger, obviously, but he had a lot of jump in his legs and a lot of fight in his game. And I love watching him play when he does that.
Knowing that Gabriel could be out for a while, how are you liking the look of your top 6 wingers, like Alex on the first line, Nikolai on the second line with Sean?
Yeah, well, again, we talk about that, having balanced scoring. So I like, you know, Nick gives that line lots of speed with the second line. And Alex has played with those guys before, and it's a good balance for having those guys there.
I know you've been moving pieces around to try and spark offense. I also think if we've seen in the past, there's been some games like this year where there's been an offensive explosion. It's really carried forward. Do you see signs from here today that you expect to carry forward?
Well, we hope so. But again, that's a tired hockey team we played tonight. So, but that's how we want to play, regardless where we are, who we're playing. That's how we want to play the game. Okay, thanks.
There we go. There's Jets head coach Rick Bowness addressing a few members of the assembled media. Not a lot of the assembled media tonight. Thought it was a one-on-one with Murat and Coach Bowness
like
there for a while.
Six questions in a row there for Murat. Murat was on a roll.
Well, I have to say there was a lack of media members tonight in the building, because where we sit, I was looking to my we had Judy Owen to our left of the CP, Mike Kenny, Darren Bombing, and Murat. DB. But then going the other way, it was Philip Paul Martin was about six seats down, and then Carter Brooks. So it was, and Darren actually ended up sitting beside me because I was feeling a little bit lonely on my right side.
Like our boy Ken Gartner saying in the chat, we have the comment up there.
Yeah.
As opposed to two nights ago, Bowness isn't sprinting away from the mic. He was actually willing to spend 4 or 5 minutes answering questions. I mean, it's refreshing, Dave, you know, like, we were joking here watching the third period, like how many questions have been asked of the Jets players, Drew, about this kind of win one, lose one, you know, little streak that they're on. And it's pretty incredible, because the Jets have won so many consecutive games. That's just where they're at in the season, right? Like Mark Scheifele was asked about it. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave was at the arena, so I'm sure more than one player was asked about it. I'm not sure if any other players spoke today.
No, Dave, just Scheifele today.
Yeah, just Scheifele. So, I mean, look, I mean, they and I'm going to, you know, steal, you know, Drew's line here, but they were patient and they took advantage of a weaker opponent, right? Like Rick Bowness mentioned it, like the Ducks, it was a 2-goal game, you know, in after two periods, was it not? Or was it 3-0? I forget.
No, it was 2-0.
Yeah, so it was, look, the Ducks stuck in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dave mentioned you've got no Radko Gudas and no Trevor Zegras. And even though Zegras is still young, he's almost a veteran on this team at this point, Dave. You forget Pavel Mintukov, who's nice 19 player. Years old. He's good.
Yeah, wow. He's a nice player. He's a building block right there.
Yeah, and so like Frank Vetrano, he hit the crossbar in the first period on a power play that, Dave, you would agree, like that Ducks power play did not look dangerous.
No.
But Vetrano still rang one off the iron. Troy Terry's a good hockey player. So, look, the Ducks, I think they're doing the best with what they have right now. But in the third period, skill took over for the Jets.
Skill and the Jets didn't sit back. And I think that's an important part to talk about. It was a 2-0 game. And, you know, I don't think the Jets were ever really, you know, threatened, even when it was only a 2-0 game. But I like that the Jets said, okay, we're not even going to sniff this one to be a bit of a controversy or sniff this one to be a close game. We're going to start the third period and we see them as weakened and we're just going to go out there quickly and end it. And that's what they did, just really dominating that entire third period. I mean, the Jets obviously dominated the vast majority of the game, but even that third period was just so in control for the Winnipeg Jets that it made it be that the last 10 minutes of the game were almost a moot point. And that's what you want to do if you're a Jets team and you're playing the Ducks, and then you have Columbus on Sunday, another team that is definitely on the weaker side of the ledger. And that's sort of what we've seen the Jets do as of late. They beat up the teams that they're supposed to beat up. They've been struggling against some of the better teams. Okay, fine. That's caused consternation for obvious reasons. But at the very least, the Jets, at least they're not struggling against the teams they're supposed to beat. They're dominating those games, and then they're having their struggles against some of the other teams.
Which was a problem last year, right, guys? Like, you know, there were several games last year that the Jets lost that they should have won. I remember the San Jose game. I remember, didn't they lose a game towards the end of the season against Arizona? I mean, it's hard to think back a year ago, considering we're 66 games into this season, right?
Yeah.
But they're starting to all feel like, you know, the same game at this point. But you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, look, I mean, there have been some pretty bad games in recent memory. I think the Nashville game, you know, they made it respectable at the end. But, you know, as far as I was concerned, I wasn't on the post-game show with you guys, but I obviously watched the game. I caught a little bit of the post-game show. Thanks for no shout-outs, by the way.
I gave you a shout-out.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
I, Dave, I expect you to maybe give me a shout-out. Drew, I expect that he's not even acknowledging my existence.
Right? I don't acknowledge your existence when I see you in person.
We saw each other at Brock Horton School today, Drew, and it was,
I know,
there was no acknowledgement, but yeah, we're joking, obviously. We always hug every time we see each other. Sometimes we even give each other kisses, but no, we don't go that far. Now I'm really starting to creep Drew out, but yeah, you're absolutely right. That's been the big difference. Look, the Dallas Stars have caused the Jets a lot of problems.
Yeah.
You know, the Vegas Golden Knights, what did they beat the Jets twice this year? Three times this year, I forget. Don't the Jets play the Golden Knights again at the end of the year?
Yeah.
They do.
Do they? I don't know. I can't remember. Sure I can only remember the next few games in a row. We can't remember that many games.
And you, as you mentioned, Drew, they're going to play Columbus on the road on Sunday. Columbus is a bad team, and they were a seller prior to the trade deadline, right? They traded Jack Roslovic.
Yeah.
I forget who else they traded. Andrew Peak. There you go. Yeah. So they've traded a few players. So, I mean, the Jets, that's obviously an opponent that you should beat. But then you're going to end up playing other teams on this East road trip, guys, that are still in the playoff hunt. The Washington Capitals, the New York Islanders.
New York Rangers.
New York Rangers are obviously a top team in the East. But, yeah this is what you wanted. This was, I think, as good of a bounce-back game, Drew, that you could ask for, considering, you know, how poorly they played against the Predators. Or I don't even know if you would say they played poorly, to be honest. Maybe the Predators just played that well. They certainly didn't play well through the first two periods of that game.
A combination of both, and certainly, you know, without, again, Mark Scheifele is such a driver on this team that without him on Wednesday night against the Predators, you could see that the team just didn't have any push. But I thought from shift one tonight, Mark Scheifele was engaged, and Mark Scheifele was too much for the Ducks to handle. And he doesn't, I mean, did he get a point tonight? Yes, I guess he did get that assist on the Toffoli power play goal. But even with only that one assist, he was just a force out there. He was too big for the Anaheim Ducks and too committed to playing the right way. And that's, I think, just such a huge factor for the Winnipeg Jets, Dave.
Yeah, no, for sure. And look, you could hear it in Rick Bonus's voice when he was talking about what this team looks like without Mark Scheifele. Like, you can remove, and we talked about it today. I can't remember if it was during the game in Media Row or if it was this morning in the Matt Frost, but you can take a winger off a team and it's not going to have as big an impact. But, and again, it's not some sort of really insightful thought process, but you just can't take a player of Mark Scheifele's caliber off this Jets club and not have it have a significant impact. You can win a game or two without him. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but you can just see the fall off from talent without Mark Scheifele in the lineup. So, I mean, he did throw an expression that I wasn't exactly certain of when he was talking about the dinosaurs today, when he was mentioning his morning skate, and, you know, cause he took the morning skate on what day is today? Today's Friday. Wednesday. So Wednesday against Nashville, but then he was off fairly quick. He said he was, I don't remember the exact expression he used, something about chucking dinosaurs or something, but he was going to,
yeah, that either, by the way.
As a little young for us, but basically meant he was going to yak. And so he had to get off the
ice. How does that relate to dinosaurs? I'm still not understanding that.
Well, check out Urban Dictionary, my friend, and you'll have the explanation you need. But the point is...
Is that still updated? Like, Urban Dictionary has been around since, like, we were in high school.
Yeah, guess what? The lingo changes, you know?
Yes, it updates itself. It goes, you know, now, see, I said yakking. Someone else may have said, you know...
Ralph, I just found out recently that I was an incel in my 20s.
Oh, God, has he? All righty, let's get to the best
game.
Hold on one sec.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what he said.
Okay.
It wasn't fun.
There you go. Mark Scheifele, call them the dinosaurs.
There you go.
So
you
calling the dinosaurs means you're about to puke.
That's exactly what we've decided.
Have any one of us ever heard that before? Has anybody in the chat heard that before? I need to understand what that means.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll let the chat answer and we'll get into the Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap.
Learning new expressions all the time here on the Illegal Curve.
Okay, Tristan Rivers Music is saying, I think calling the dinosaurs has to do with the sound one would make.
Well, that sort of makes some sense. I can buy that argument. I can listen to that argument
as an explanation.
I have time for that. So far, it makes as much sense as anything else does regarding that turn of phrase. So I'm okay with Tristan Rivers Music there on that one. The Betway game recap brought to you by our friends at Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the illegal curve post-game show. As we alluded to, the Jets started the right way. They played this game the right way for the vast, vast, vast majority of the 60 minutes. Everything about their the performance for the Jets was good tonight. The penalty kill was sharp, killing off three minor penalties. I guess one of them was not quite three, two minor penalties in that first period, including a very tricky 4-on-3 late in that first period. But the Jets do open the scoring at the 16:20 mark. So 3 minutes and 40 seconds left to go in the first period after being in control and having a number of good opportunities turned aside by Ducks goaltender John Gibson. Kyle Connor demonstrates that great eye-hand coordination. He tips in the Dylan DeMello point shot, assist to Josh Morrissey on this one as well. Mark Scheifele isn't going to get on the score sheet here, but he certainly is a driver of this play and starts the play again with a good, strong net drive and a good, a good strong zone entry and possession below the net before it eventually works its way back around to DeMello's point shot and Kyle Connor's tip, Ezzy.
Yeah, I feel like this type of goal is like, I think it was Paul Maurice that called it coach porn. Like, I feel like this is exactly what you want, right? When you hear F1, right? Like, we're not going to go into the intricacies of, you know, what they specifically mean in certain systems, but basically F1 usually means the first forward in, right? So Scheifele is the first forward in, as you mentioned, Drew. He has the puck, he's circling behind the net, and then Iafallo has good support, passes it over to Iafallo. Iafallo gets it to DeMello at the point. DeMello has a nice shot on net, and it's a beautiful tip by Kyle Connor. And Dan Robertson mentioned this on the broadcast, guys. Like, there's no chance for John Gibson when you're moving one way. Like, it's a perfect tip by Kyle Connor. And I thought that was also important that Connor got the goal in the first period, because I thought that the game against Nashville, I'm sure you guys talked about it, and I've already seen people, you know, talking about Connor's game. Like, I'm sorry, guys. When the Jets beat a team 6-0, you can't really complain about Kyle Connor's play. Like, the guy scored a goal. The Jets won 6-0.
About his performance tonight?
Well, there's a few people. I mean, look, Kyle Connor, I think, is a polarizing guy because he's such a great offensive player. And quite frankly, he's not a very good defensive player.
Yeah. Like,
for example, we've seen Mark Scheifele elevate his defensive game this year. Yeah. I don't think you could say the same for Kyle Connor. I'm not saying that he's the worst defensive forward in the league. I'm just saying a lot of times I think let's just put it this way, he leaves a lot to be desired sometimes in the defensive zone. But on this particular play, Drew, got to stick to the topic here. Beautiful, nice low shot by Dylan DeMello, and just a beautiful tip by Kyle Connor. And as Drew mentioned, that's exactly what you wanted to do. The Jets were all over the Ducks. I think the shots at one point, Dave, were like 9-2, something like that. So
yeah, it was 8-1 during that segment, Ezzy.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's just a nice tip by Connor. It's a goal scorer's goal, and that's exactly what you want to do. A bad team coming in the second game of a back-to-back, you want to get the early goal and kind of crush their spirit early on.
Well, and just to add on, I'm not going to do any more analysis on the goal because as he hit it there, but the reality is, and that's what Rick Bonus talked about, was how important it was to get on Anaheim quickly. Because, look, no coach is going to say, yeah, the team sucks. So, you know, we really doesn't really matter if we play a full 60 because we're going to defeat them. But ultimately, he knew, and you could see it a little bit, but the Jets, to their credit, they were ready to go from puck drop. Yeah. And that was important for me because that's one of the things we saw the last two games. Even though they won one of them, they allowed I would call it almost a grade A chance both games. And in both instances, Lauren Brossoit and Connor Hellebuyck made the stops, but it just showed that they weren't ready. And in this game, right from puck drop, they were ready. And that was important. So that was what Rick Bonus wanted to see from his team. I mean, look, again, like I said, no coach is going to sit there and malign a team before they play them. And you know, they'll handle it gently after. But ultimately, you know, you knew that the Jets were the superior team. And so, you know, I mean, the thing that we were a little surprised about, and before, because we could have mentioned it before the Betway game recap began, just the decision to make that kind of wholesale swap of four players into the lineup, right? I mean, we knew Mark Scheifele was coming back, as he, right? That was the expectation, but it wasn't just Mark Scheifele. It was also David Gustafson, Nate Schmidt, and Logan Stanley coming out and Dylan Sandberg came out, Colin Miller came out, and presumably, who was the third one?
Cole Perfetti.
Cole Perfetti and Rasmus.
And also Kupari. Nemesnikov left the game against the Preds, Dave, and as you reported, Bonus said that he was going to play tonight. So we knew that Namestnikov and Scheifele were coming back in. The big surprise to me was Sandberg, Dave. I texted you this. Like, Colin Miller, he's a new addition to the squad.
Right.
So I get that. And this the argument that, you know, we're trying to keep our players fresh, really?
Well, but the, I mean,
seems
I
like a convenient answer.
There's something to be said for perhaps with both Perfetti and Sandberg out of the lineup and them being roommates that perhaps that flu bug may have also still been going through the room. I mean, we don't know. We don't know the answer. I mean, Dylan Sandberg wasn't taken out of the lineup tonight because of poor performance. I don't think anybody is saying that at all.
He's been Mr. Consistency all. That's what I thought, Drew. I thought it could have been that, but apparently it was a healthy scratch.
Well, but you know what? You have all these guys who are on your roster and you have the luxury right now of being in such a spot where you can rotate guys to keep them fresh and maybe give them some nights off and things of that nature.
First of all, I have no problem with the decision because I think that the biggest mistake the Jets make is actually overtaxing their team.
Right. So I don't need to right now.
No, exactly. And first of all, if you're going to do it against any team, you're doing it against the Anaheim Ducks.
Yes.
You know, well, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. You're not going to do it against the Rangers. You're not going to do it against like a team like the Islanders who are desperate for points. But you can do it against Anaheim because they're the Anaheim
Ducks.
You can do it against.
Let's be honest here, guys. They're a bad team. Like we already talked about, they've got good young players, but they're just a bad team. So sorry to cut you off, Dave, but you're right. I don't think Bonus or Arneil and the coaching staff, I don't think they scratch. Maybe they scratch Perfetti because we know Perfetti's been struggling, but Sandberg has not been struggling. To me, this is to give him just a day off.
That's exactly. And again, like I said, Drew, there could be some semblance to what you're saying in terms of like being roommates and all that other stuff. But like ultimately, the biggest mistake I think the Jets make is not trusting their depth and allowing their guys. It's a long season. It's not a sprint. And so to give a guy a night off, let him rest and then get another guy into the lineup, keep that guy fresh. Because we talked about it. The worst thing you can do is just leave these guys cold on the shelf for 10, 15, 20 games in a row.
Right.
And then something happens and somehow you need to get one of those guys in. And well, they're, a month behind everybody else. So you keep them engaged, you keep them fresh. And the reality is, to be honest with you, it wasn't like Nate Schmidt deserved to sit. Certainly not Dylan Sandberg.
Right.
It wasn't like there was anything egregious. You're like, okay, there's this reason. I mean, let's put it this way. There's a lot more deserving candidates than those guys in terms of the sitting. So I just thought it was an interesting point to make up.
1-0 for the Jets after 20 minutes. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. People watching all around the world. Got to highlight this. El Cheverino watching from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Well, welcome. I think you probably are our first viewer that we know of that's at least joined the chat to indicate that they're watching from Malaysia. So we say to El Cheverino, good evening. I'm not even sure what time it is.
Great name.
It's probably good morning in Malaysia at this hour, maybe even good afternoon, but thrilled that you're here and so many of you here.
Malaysia's just below China, right?
I'll let you look it up there.
Dave's a geography guy. I feel like Malaysia's very close to Thailand.
Sorry.
Below China, right?
I would be correcting Ezzy, but I'm too busy correcting myself because I originally had the Jets beating the Ducks 5-0. And then when I was amending the headlines on illegalcurve.com, boys, I inadvertently put the 6 in, but didn't take the 5 out. So it says Winnipeg Jets handily defeat the Anaheim Ducks 65-0 to slip back into first. So I'm just making a little edit, if you will.
Making that edit there. Well, we talk about the Jets' second goal. They made it 2-0 on the power play at the 7:47 mark of the second period. Nate Schmidt, he gets in the lineup and he gets on the score sheet. His second of the year, assist to Nikolai Ehlers and Neil Pionk. It's a great pass from Ehlers to Schmidt on the power play. And then definitely a fortuitous pinball effect. 11:15 in the morning in Malaysia. That's great, El Cheverino. Love it. 13 hours ahead of us. Nate Schmidt getting that second goal, and the Jets have, you got to be lucky to be good. And on this instance, the bouncing was fortuitous, but a very nice play by Ehlers to get Schmidt into that position, Ezzy.
Yeah. And, before I just talk about the goal here, I mean, people who watch the show regularly know, we're all big fans of Nate Schmidt. Let's be honest here. Who isn't a big fan of Nate Schmidt? And just wanted to mention how awesome the first intermission interview was. Dave M probably didn't hear it because he was at the arena, but Nate Schmidt's just, he's such a positive, happy guy, And I just appreciate that. I just think he's a breath of fresh air. And I just love, I could listen to Nate Schmidt really talk at any point to talk to anybody. Just think that he's, yeah, he's just a good guy that you want to root for. So you're absolutely right, Drew. We've talked about it. Also funny that both of his goals this year are against the Ducks. I thought that was funny. They mentioned that they threw up a graphic on the broadcast. But yeah, look, it does the old double bounce. And and you got to love the fact that Nino Niederreiter points to him, because, I mean, I don't know about you, Drew, or you, Dave, or anybody, you know, in the chat here or watching, because some people don't participate in the chat. We always say that's perfectly fine, even though the chat is a very friendly place.
Lots of viewers, not a lot of chatters necessarily.
Absolutely. So if you want to participate in the chat, go ahead. But I think a lot of people thought that that did go off of Niederreiter, right? But
I did.
I think it was Mintukov, if I'm not mistaken. It was a double deflection, but I made a note. I thought it was Mintukov. It went off the leg. So you just love to see that for a guy like Schmidt, who obviously, guys, you're not expecting a lot of offense from, but it's nice, Dave, when a guy's a healthy scratch, then he comes back to the lineup. And even though it's a double deflection, Nate Schmidt's going to take it all day long, and it's going to put an even bigger smile on a guy who's always smiling.
Yeah, and look, this is a guy who's a heart and soul guy of this team. And, you know, I know a lot of folks, I mean, he's your third pairing guy. His contract isn't his fault. He does it. He signed it. The Jets signed it the Jets didn't sign it. The Jets traded for him. But I mean, he is like, even Colin Miller, who, you know, came on the scene and really was, you're thinking, well, he's going to be taking Nate Schmidt's position in theory, in that third pairing role. You can just see that there's that camaraderie from their time in Vegas. So he's a really well-liked guy. And so there's that energy factor. And that's one of the things Colin Miller talked about in his first media availability in terms of what Nate Schmidt brings. So you can just see it. And like we see it today, we're in the room, he walks in, he's got a big smile on his face. You know, there's an excitement level there, obviously, probably because he knew he was getting back into the lineup. He's Gregory Liverpool's spirit animal. But, you know, he's the kind of guy who brings who teams need. And we, Ezzy, we talked about this, and Drew, we talked about this since he's been here, how tight, not this year, but how tight this Jets team was for years, and what a guy like that can bring to a room that is, you know, very, let's just put it this, to put it mildly, pretty tight.
Yeah. 2-0 after 40 minutes now after the Schmidt goal. So a power play goal for the Winnipeg Jets. That's always worth highlighting, because they, for a while there, they certainly didn't come very easy or very often for the Jets. And then the third period begins, and you're okay. Jets are up 2-0. They've been in control of this game, but they're one bad bounce away or one fluke away from it being a one goal game. So how are the Jets going to react in this third period? And they reacted like a dominant force should. And they absolutely controlled the entirety of the final 20 minutes to the tune of 4 consecutive goals in the final frame, 6 consecutive in the course of the entire game, of course, by the 6-0 margin. And they get it started. And normally this was going to be our Seagram shot of the game. And apologies to Dylan DeMello. His first goal since, what was it, October 4th?
65 games.
Yeah, okay, so a huge number of games. Normally he would get the Seagram shot of the game. Obviously that's going to go to Tyler Toffoli coming up here on the post-game show, so stay tuned for that. But Dylan DeMello at the 4:59 mark of the third period with 4-on-4 action. So another instance where it was offsetting minors in this game. Twice that happened. Then, of course, the Ducks had the 4-on-3 power play. But 4-on-4, Ehlers, again, another beautiful pass, and he goes, and Dylan DeMello walks in, and he's just above the hash marks, and he absolutely has sort of an old school big wind up slap shot, and he puts it right through, as Kevin Sawyer said on the broadcast, right through the 7 hole of John Gibson, sort of between the arm and the body. And you could see that Gibson thought he should have had it, because he sort of threw up his head in the air, but it was a great shot by DeMello, a great feeling for him to get his second goal of the year. And now the Jets have a 3-0 lead, and there was no chance the Ducks were coming back from 3 goals down in the final 15 minutes of tonight's contest.
No, absolutely not. And I don't think they were coming back, you know, down 1-0 as well, but you're absolutely right, Drew. Like, the 3-0 goal was the killer. And yeah, it was an old school slapper, a howitzer. And you know, we mentioned it, like, he hasn't scored in a really long time. And DeMello obviously is known for being, you know, the Jets' best shutdown defenseman, along with Dylan Sandberg, I would argue. But, you know, this is, you know, a close range one. Dylan DeMello absolutely steps into it. And you're right. It, It was a nifty feed by Nikolai Ehlers, who comes into the zone with speed. And look, Ehlers has been criticized. And you know, I'll let Dave get in here because he was in the building for this goal. But that was in the third period.
I was here.
No, hold on. Yeah, that was the third period. I'm getting confused here, and I haven't been drinking tonight.
It happens relatively.
Yeah, sorry. This was early in the third period. Yeah. I thought we were still in the second period of the Betway game recap, boys. But this is a tough pass to make. Like, Ehlers is going fast, and it's a spin around, nice pass to DeMello, who is already pinched in. It's not like he takes this pass. Like, it's not. It's a very precise pass is the word I would use. And yeah, DeMello makes no mistake about it. And again, guys, what stood out to me, yes, Toffoli gets his first goal as a Jet. He scores two goals. But you had five different goal scorers, and you had goals coming from the defense and from a lot of sources. And that's what you're getting through the first kind of, you know, 40 to 45 games of the season, because it's been well documented, guys. The Jets have been a 500 hockey team for the last 20 or 20 games. What's the record now in their last 22 is something like, I don't know, what is it, Dave? 11-9-2 or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. But that shows you that the Jets aren't reliant on one line, right? They're not just reliant on Mark Scheifele's line or Sean Monahan's line. You're getting goals from Schmidt and DeMello, who are better known for their defensive hockey, right? So you love to see that. You always love to see a guy get the monkey off his back, I think.
Well, Jets had, in their first three goals, they had 9 points. Of those 9 points, six of them went to defensemen. So that's, you know, the defense pulling its weight for the Winnipeg Jets on the offensive side of things, Dave.
And Drew, isn't that funny? Because what was the conversation we had on the last postgame show? How last year, Rick Bonus's big point was to have offense from the defense, and he wasn't getting that. And we talked about, well, not that he wasn't getting it. They're just not scoring as many goals as they did last year. But now you get some contributions, and that's what this team needed, right? And so, sure, we understand the disclaimer. This is the Anaheim Ducks. It was not the Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars, or, well, I would say Las Vegas, but Las Vegas might not even be in the playoffs, folks. So I'm not so sure we should be mentioning Vegas. They just got defeated.
Can you imagine if they don't make the playoffs? Like with the additions they made.
31 fan bases will be overjoyed.
Jesse Pollock would be the happiest man on earth if Vegas.
They lost to what? Calgary was it last night?
3-1 to Calgary. Yeah.
I was going to say 4-1.
And in fact, if they hadn't scored with 13 seconds to go the previous game, they were in regulation. They would have lost that one too. So, I mean, Vegas is, and again, don't cry for me, Argentina. Nobody is crying for Vegas, but this isn't Golden Knights lunch, or I guess supper at this point. As
you should have said, don't cry for me, Malaysia.
What is Malaysia?
No, Malaysia, like with their...
Okay.
El Scorcherino's in Malaysia.
Well, no. I didn't hear you say Malaysia. I heard you say some other phrase that wasn't real.
It did sound a little bit jumbled.
Yeah. By the way, I haven't noticed Spencey in the chat. Is Spencey having an off night?
Well, Eddie, after you were missing, he was like, I'm out.
After you ditched on his birthday, he's out. He's mad at you, I'm pretty sure.
Speaking of birthdays, guys, I'm not going to say I'm a little insulted, but March 15th.
Is today your birthday?
It's not my birthday.
No, I didn't.
Dave, your birthday is in September.
Yes, September 15th, which is 6 months from today, which is makes today.
What are you, my kids, you know, celebrating half birthdays?
Well, my mom, who forgot to call me Cheryl, I'm not happy with you. Calls me
every. Your mom forgot to call you Cheryl?
Well, my mom didn't forget to call me Cheryl, because that would be weird. My mom, Cheryl, forgot
the
phone and wished me happy birthday.
It's about
half birthday, Ides of March. She usually does. She forgot. But I know she watches the show. So if she's
beware the Ides of Manuk, Drew.
Exactly.
What I'm going to tell everybody in the chat is that tomorrow is my parents' anniversary. So it's everybody's job tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show to remind me to call my parents to wish them a happy anniversary. So that's
what you should
job
do, Drew,
tomorrow.
Is you should call them live while we're doing the show. That would be amazing.
Just bring them on air with us. I'll see about that. We'll see how tomorrow's show is going. 9 a.m. tomorrow, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3-0 for the Jets at that
point. Spencey's here, guys. Everything's okay.
There you go.
How would he know if we were talking about him if he wasn't here to hear us talk about him?
But he is here.
Which we weren't talking about, and yet we were.
I think Spencey was just doing a little creeping. He wasn't chatting. He was just watching, which is a little bit rare for Spencey.
3 minutes and 8 seconds later, Tyler Toffoli getting his first as a member of the Winnipeg Jets. It also coincides with our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support. I got the bottle the wrong way of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Might be a fireball tonight for you, celebrating the Jets 6-0 victory. You know that fireball ignite the night with fireball available at any of our fine liquor marts throughout the province of Manitoba or wherever you may be listening in or watching us from. I'm not sure if they have it in Malaysia, but if they do, we do highly recommend our good friends at Fireball. And
Drew, you can send El Scorcherino one of your bottles.
I could. It would, I'm not sure if you how long it would take to send a miniature bottle of Fireball to Malaysia, but probably
it would cost
a long
like $100 to send it.
That's right. It would also be a little bit costly at that point in time. I would think so there. It's Tyler Toffoli, his 27th of the year. Sean Monahan getting the assist. It's a clean face-off win. Monahan to Toffoli and Toffoli on and off his stick really quick. A lot of traffic in front of John Gibson. He didn't look like he saw the shot until it was a little too late, but it hits the mesh. Toffoli celebrates. The crowd goes wild. We find out what his song is, and the Jets now have a 4-0 lead.
What was the song? I didn't hear it.
Dave?
I was here, but I had someone who asked me, and I didn't know the answer, and then they told me it's Uproar by Lil Wayne.
There you go.
Uproar is a great song, actually. I mean, Drew's a hip-hop aficionado, so he definitely knows that song. I'm pretty sure that, if I'm not mistaken, Uproar uses a G-Dep beat. G-Dep was a rapper under the Bad Boy family. So I'm pretty sure there's a G-Dep beat in there, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, Lil Wayne, great rapper. But let's get into this goal here. Tyler Toffoli, number 73, trade deadline acquisition. This was a trade deadline acquisition goal, and you had Shawnee Monahan picking up the puck, of course, because Tyler Toffoli is going to put that right beside his Stanley Cup ring, wherever he keeps it. I'm sure he probably wears it as well. But yeah, as you mentioned, Drew, I mean, this is off the face-off. Yeah. And, you know, this is kind of, again, this is coach porn, right? Like Rick Bowness, I mean, Monahan wins the face-off, Dave. It goes right to Toffoli, puts it in the back of the net. I mean, like, you can't draw it up any better than that. You can't break that goal down any better than that. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not that often in a game that you get situations like that, but I mean, that's what you like, right? That's what they talk about. Win the face-off, Tyler, go to, you know, go shoot that puck. I'll win the face-off, and there's your first goal as a Jet.
Yeah. Well, as he just said that you couldn't break it down any further. So I'm not going to try and break it down any further. He said any better. You couldn't break it down any better. It's high praise for
himself. You can break down Lil Wayne Uproar if you want, Dave. I mean, you can keep going.
No, I was just going
to
say
not EDM. If it was EDM, Dave would be able to break it down a little bit more, but that's not his strong suit.
First of all, I want to give a shout out to the guy in the Canada like outfit who's like pulling his chest. Like he scored the goal. Kudos to that guy, but no, I mean, I just was going to say that it's one of those things that, you know, Toffoli's been doing a lot of the things right since we've seen him wearing a Jets uniform, but obviously hadn't been rewarded with a goal. So that's what you expect from him, right? That's the kind of stuff we've seen him in front of the net. And I suspect that is where he is going to make his money, earn his money, Ezzy, because that's the kind of player he's been brought in to be, kind of add in that element for Winnipeg. And that's exactly what he did on that first goal.
And the Jets then make it 5-0, just under 3 minutes later, 2 minutes and 58 seconds later. So the goals came fast and furious in that third period. It's another power play goal for the Winnipeg Jets. Tyler Toffoli, again, that's his 28th. Assist to Scheifele and assist to Josh Morrissey. This took all of 8 seconds into the power play. And it's a great play by Scheifele and it's a great play by Toffoli to go right hard in front of John Gibson, present his skate, and Mark Scheifele was able to very adeptly hit both of them, or hit one of it, and have it redirect into the back of the Anaheim Ducks goal. Again, just a lovely setup by the Jets and a lovely execution on the power play to give the Jets the 5-0 lead. And, you know, two power play goals for the Winnipeg Jets, you know, again, for a power play that was struggling for so much of the year. And of course, it ended up being 3 power play goals for the Jets tonight. But for a power play that was struggling for so much of the year, just having it be a little bit of a threat will go a long way for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
Well, I was just the only thing.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say, and the big concern, of course, was not having Gabriel Vilardi for the power play, because he has had such a big impact for Winnipeg in that regard. So for them to be able
more
to
about that tomorrow, sorry, much more about Gabe Vilardi and his absence tomorrow on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
It's awful news. It really is. Like, Dave, you know, like, sorry, go on. But I mean, it's just you hate to hear that for a guy who's already been injured quite a bit this year and previously with the LA Kings. Hopefully he's able to come back. It's just really.
Yeah. I mean, just to be clear, he's dealing with an enlarged spleen. We don't have a timeline in terms of his return. As Drew said, we'll talk about it more on tomorrow's show. But that was the news that came out of today's morning media availability with Rick Bowness. Of course, that media availability is available on this YouTube channel and on illegalcurve.com. But so hopefully you already know because you read about it on the website hours ago, right, Ezzy? But exactly. The big concern for the Jets was whether the power play would be able to get going without Gabriel Vilardi, because he's been such a key component of that mat with the man advantage. But like you said, you like to see what Toffoli brings to it and Sean Monahan. So it looks like they're firing again, the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, coming into today's game, they had a minus 69 goal differential, as the third least goals scored in the Western Conference. And the second most goals against. So not exactly a team that is screaming playoffs. Probably not for the next couple of years would be my guess.
Yeah, at least. And they take the most penalties, right? They mentioned that on the broadcast. So, I mean, that's just a bad combination. You don't score a lot, you let in a lot, and you take a lot of penalties. That's why they're a bottom five team in the league. Just quickly, Drew, because obviously I mean, this game was long over before this game, this 5-0 goal, but what I like is that, you know, you had Sean Monahan there, and I thought Cam Fowler kind of cheated a little bit too much towards Monahan. That's what stood out to me on this goal. And as you mentioned, Toffoli's got great positioning, right? Like, he's right in front of John Gibson, and, it's a nice deflection. But I like that Scheifele notices that there's absolutely nobody between him and Gibson. So that's why he puts the puck on the net, right? Like, some of the criticism of this Jets power play, especially, you know, the first half of the season was, you know, it was too passive, too predictable, and they were making too many passes and you know, waiting for the perfect opportunity to shoot. But Scheifele recognizes this, and I think what he's thinking is, if it doesn't deflect off of Toffoli, it's going to go off of Gibson's pad, and then maybe Toffoli buries the rebound, right, Dave? So I just love how, you know, Scheifele identifies the fact that Fowler is cheating, trying to cut the pass, the option of going to Monahan kind of in the middle there. And, you know, so I thought Scheifele was excellent tonight. I really did, considering that, you know, he missed Thursday night's game, and you weren't sure, was this going to kind of be 50% Scheifele or 70% Scheifele? But again, if you listen to Dave M's audio, Scheifele told us that he was 100%.
Well, and just to add to Ezzy's thought is, you could see it in a couple, like going back to the first period, there were a couple of plays that he made that were sneaky good plays, whether, you know, with the puck creating, you saw him use his legs to generate. It wasn't a breakaway, but it was a nice, I think it was a 2-on-1 or something of that nature. So, and again, he was back checking. So those are the things that you want to see from Mark Scheifele. That's when you know he's engaged. It's like I said, it's a completely different number 55 than, and I'm not going to pat myself on the back and give myself all the credit, because he's not Steve Yzerman yet, but it is the Mark Scheifele we said that this summer, if he has that contract, you're going to see a guy who's now about legacy. And the legacy you create is by winning a Stanley Cup. That's how you create a legacy in hockey. And we know that's what he wants to do. We know that's what Connor Hellebuyck wants to do. And the other thing, as
Dave, you also build the legacy by having your own beer and having your own sandwich at Bernstein's Deli.
Hey, yes, both, you know what, Ezzy? Everybody has their own sort of legacy building opportunities. Ours is slightly different than everybody else's, but than hockey players. And the other thing we will mention, and I know we'll get to it towards the end of the game, but, you know, that we should mention as well, is just as important as the goals that they're scoring, Lauren Brossoit continues to play so well for this win. That's his 12th win, I think, of the season already. And second back-to-back game with a shutout. Sorry, spoiler alert, I should have said, Ezzy, because we haven't finished the game recap, so folks may not be aware. But, I mean, his play for Winnipeg has just been so solidifying. And one thing, especially down the stretch, as the Jets have games every second night, is you do wonder if they're going to try and pull back on Connor Hellebuyck and give him some rest, because I think that's key. Although I was down a rabbit hole the other day as on the Moose stats. And I did see that in 2015, Connor Hellebuyck played in 21 consecutive games for the Moose. So the guy likes to play hockey. That's all I'll say.
There, he certainly does. He doesn't like missing any games, but when he hasn't been in net tonight, when or this season, when Lauren Francois has been in net for the Jets, how about 12-4-2 in 18 starts and 1.99 goals against average and a 9.27 save percentage? His shutout streak, this all courtesy of our buddy Mike McIntyre, is now at 141 minutes and 20 seconds. So that tells you all you need to know about Lauren Francois and how he's been absolute found money for the Winnipeg Jets this season. The Jets wrap up the scoring. We still have one last goal, 6-0 goal. Mason Appleton again on the power play. Great pass, blind pass by Adam Lowry, and nice for Appleton on a bit of a tough angle to get the shot past John Gibson. This coming with 6 seconds to go, which matched the margin of victory for the Winnipeg Jets. 6-0 for the Jets. They dominate the Anaheim Ducks on home ice tonight. They wrap up the three-game homestand with a record of 2 wins and 1 loss. And with the victory, they move into a tie atop the Central Division with the Avs and the Stars. But by virtue of the fact that the Jets have both played fewer games...
Here comes that points percentage, Dave.
No, no, not points percentage. I mean, I wasn't even going to say that, but I was going to say by virtue of the fact the Jets have played the fewest number of games and have the most regulation victories in the Central Division, they have the first tiebreaker right now. And so the Jets atop the Central Division.
So it would be the Jets versus Nashville, right, if the playoffs started today?
If the playoffs started today, it would be the Winnipeg Jets against the Nashville Predators. Yeah. You are correct.
Oh, what a hell of a series that would be. I mean, we just saw the best of the Predators. Obviously, you know, I think we're all still taking the Jets just based on talent, especially the forward group. And I think you'd give the edge in goal. But, man, the way UC Saros has been playing, pretty incredible. But, yeah, I mean, it shows you, though, Drew, the importance for the Jets finishing first, right? Like, you just don't want to have to play Colorado and Dallas in the first round. You prefer Colorado and Dallas, Dave, beat each other up in the first round, go 7 games.
That's right.
And then, you know, you you face a weakened opponent in the second round.
Well, Go ahead, sorry, Drew, last thought to you. Last thought. Okay, well, I was just going to say, 42nd win for the Jets in game 66.
Yeah, last year, time, baby.
Last year came in game 76 and in 17-18 game 71. So this Jets club is well ahead of the best teams we've ever seen in Winnipeg. So, you know, despite the hand wringing we've seen the last couple of days after the loss to Nashville, and look, we're not going to whitewash it. The Jet team does need to play better against some of the playoff teams because there are no Anaheim when the playoffs come around. Right, boys. Right. So it's all well and good to get your numbers up. But ultimately, you have to be able to beat teams like the Nashville Predators, like the Dallas Stars, like Columbus, the Vegas Golden Knights, Columbus.
Well, I think we'll end up, you know, talking a lot about the road trip, especially, you know, we've got Aaron Portsline coming on tomorrow to talk about the Blue Jackets, who obviously, you know, have been a bit of a gong show this year.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm hoping that one of us is going to get to ask about Patrick Laine, obviously, who we're all hoping is doing really well, and we're hoping that, you know, he's going to be back healthy and scoring lots of goals next year for the Blue Jackets, right? But
amen.
It's going to be a tough road trip, right? Like we talked about it, Washington, the Islanders. I think, do they play the Devils?
Yeah.
Someone else is in there. The
New
Rangers.
Jersey, the Islanders.
Devils, sorry, I'm going to admit the
it's
Devils
five gamer.
Are not making the playoffs. But
and Washington.
You know, I was kind of thinking of this, Dave, if they can go 3-1-1, like obviously you'd like to go 5-0. But I think if you go 3-1-1 and you get points in 4 or 5, you're taking that all day long.
Save it for tomorrow. We got the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. tomorrow, but we still have much more to come later on tonight after the commercial messages. Manuk Moose Minute, tough.com.
Smash the like
comment.
Button.
Smash the like button. Don't go anywhere. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. It rolls on this Friday night.
BP's new New York Sicilian Square Footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian Square Footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
the Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 10:43. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg here with you, talking about the Jets and their commanding 6-0 victory tonight over the Anaheim Ducks, an overmatched Anaheim Ducks team, to put it mildly. Tough Duck hardest hitting comments still to come. Minuk Moose minutes still to come. Want to remind everybody that Illegal Curve, proud media sponsors of the Rady JCC Sports Dinner, coming up on May 28th, 2024. One of the best dinners on the calendar. Tons of memorabilia. Ezzy picked up, what did he pick up? A Jordan Schmaltz?
Nick Schmaltz. We had Jordan Schmaltz on the show last week. It was a Nick Schmaltz number 8 Coyote signed jersey. And yeah, as you mentioned, Drew, I mean, there's so much good memorabilia, NFL, MLB, NBA, like everything. There's really nothing like it in the city. I've never seen an auction like it in Winnipeg.
No, it's a fantastic dinner. If you're looking to get tickets, RadyJCC.com. You can buy individual tickets. And if you buy an individual ticket, ask them, tell them you want to be sat with the Illegal Curve guys.
Yep.
We're going to be there. We're going to be all together, the three of us. So if you buy a ticket and support this great cause and you want to sit with us and totally understand if you don't want to sit with us, frankly, I don't want to sit with Dave and Ezzy, but nonetheless, I'm still going to do it. If you want to sit with us, tell them when you buy your ticket that you want to sit at the Illegal Curve table and they'll be able to make it all happen. That's coming up on May 28th. For more information, RadyJCC.com. A great,
I'm actually going to ask Wendell Clark if he can rough you up at our table.
That's fine. I wouldn't. That would be perfectly fine, Ezzy. I think everybody would enjoy seeing that happen.
By the way, Drew, you didn't give a shout out to Husley because the Ukrainian choir, they opened.
They're great, Dave.
They're honestly like, it's funny because usually I'm kind of aware when they're setting it up, but I wasn't really paying attention. And then they announced that they were doing the anthems. Like if you're not an anthem person, I actually like the anthems, but if you're not an anthem person, listening to them deliver the anthem, you know, is just the best. I mean, it's better on a Saturday night, but it's still pretty damn good on a Friday night. And sold out Winnipeg.
Yeah.
The crowd really responded, and we're loving it. So it was kind of a nice little way to start the game, I thought.
There you go.
And Sol Bear too. I'm going to give Sol Bear
is excellent.
A shout out. Not related to Cocaine Bear. I know Drew thinks they're related.
Yeah.
But Sol Bear does an awesome job too.
You're my Sol Bear there, Ezzy, is really what you are there. Manuk Moose Minute. Dave alluded to it. The Moose came back. They won in a shootout. Dave's going to tell us all about that right now.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Critical game tonight for the Moose, who are, three and one coming into tonight's game so far on this 6-game road trip. They close things out in Chicago. Chicago, of course, is the team they are battling with for that fifth and final playoff spot in the Central Division. And Chicago, Ezzy, they got things off to a good start. Not so good for the Moose because the Moose gave up a shorthanded goal. Wasn't a great play. It kind of looked like a comedy of errors, actually. But the Moose give up a shorthanded goal to start the game. So you're like, okay, well, maybe that's not so good. It's always hard. These games are really hard when the games start exactly at the same time. Because I was like, oh boy, this is not going to be easy. But that started in the second period. Max Comtois, he gets his 13th. And the Moose find themselves down 1-0. But you know what's better than giving up a shorthanded goal, boys? Scoring a shorthanded goal. And that's just what Ville Heinola did. He scores his 6th of the year. Nice little shot, shorthanded. So he ties the game. But don't go anywhere, because Max Comtois, he scores his 2nd goal on that same power play. So now it's a 2-1 Chicago lead. Thomas Milic was in the net. We should mention, actually, because it happened earlier today, there was a trade, because today was the AHL trade deadline. So the Jets and Senators organizations made a trade. Well, the Jets won't really get anything. They get future considerations, which amounts to zero. And they traded Wyatt Bongiovanni, who has been here for 2 years now. He signed at a Quinnipiac College as an undrafted free agent. And nice kid. He's really nice kid, actually, from Michigan. And so he's heading to the Ottawa organization. So he'll get a chance, maybe a little more chance there, because seemed like he was a bit in and out of the lineup after dealing with an injury. Took a big hit by Alex Petrovic of the Texas Stars in December, I think, and it gave him a bruised knee. So he's heading to the Senators organization. Anyways, Moose down 2-1 after 40 minutes, boys, and needing probably at least a point, because you wanted to, you know, like I said, Chicago by 3 points coming into tonight's game. So important for them to have a good effort. And they get an early goal. Henry Nikkanen, boys, waited 35 games to get his first point. He's on fire. So he fires a shot after Nicholas Jones set him up. He goes off the point against Adam Scheel, who, of course, folks know from his UND days. And then Nicholas Jones ties the game to make it a 2-2 game. Goes to OT. Moose had a chance to win it. Brad Lambert with a 4-on-3 time ticking down.
I'm sorry. That's funny. That's a funny line by Spency. Yeah. Spency put Wyatt Bon Voyage on. That was pretty funny.
Fair enough. That's a good one by Spency. We'll give him credit for that one. But ultimately, the Moose tie it, have a chance to win an OT. They do not. I think Daniel Fink said they hit about 5 posts, boys. Goes to a shootout. Ville Heinola, no dice. He hit the post in the shootout. Brad Lambert, no dice. Nikita Chibrikov, no dice. But Jeff Molot, boys, with the game on a stick in the 5th round, he wins it for the Moose. They win 3-2. They'll have a rematch with the same Wolves tomorrow night in Chicago to close out their 6th on the road. And then they're back home for 6 games, starting with the Grand Rapids Griffins Tuesday morning, 10:30. We'll have tickets to give away, school day game. Those are always fun, but a big game tomorrow. So now they're 4 points up on Chicago. They've added more points because Iowa lost to Grand Rapids. So the Moose, again, still 16 games for them in their season, but if they can win tomorrow, they've really gone a long way to solidifying that 5th and final playoff spot.
There you go. As only he can, a Manuk Moose Minute on this edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Ezzy, it's your time to shine. It's the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
Drew, I actually disagree with you. It's not my time to shine. Oh. It's the chat's time to shine.
Ah, fair enough.
the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment, acknowledging some great commentary from our loyal chatters. And, you know, for people who don't know, people wouldn't know this, but we have the ability behind the scenes to star comments, and we have 7 comments starred. So we had a lot of good comments to choose from. For those who didn't see this earlier, El Cheverino, longtime watcher, first time chatter, watching from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Unfortunately, El Cheverino, the postage is going to be a little bit too expensive for us. I think you'll forgive us. We're not going to send out a Tough Duck toque to you there.
I don't think you need a toque in Kuala Lumpur either. I think that wouldn't go very far.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hot all year round. But it was a great comment. We appreciate you watching from Malaysia. As I mentioned, there was a lot of good comments. So we appreciate all of those good comments tonight. We're going to give it to this comment, though. I mean, how could you not love this comment from Charlie Horse? Whoop-de-doo. Wow. Jets won, as Dave just talked about, the Moose won, big win over the Wolves, and just heard my sister just pulled through heart surgery. Great day. If anybody going to tell us that their sister just pulled through heart surgery, as far as I'm concerned, because I get to pick the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment, I am going to always pick that comment. So Charlie Horse, I believe Charlie Horse has won before, if I'm not mistaken, but we're going to give you another toque, Charlie, because that's absolutely awesome.
If Charlie's won before, he should give the toque to his sister. She just got through heart surgery.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure Charlie Horse did win, because I think it spurred the conversation about a line of plush dolls that my uncle had created called the Punimals, one of which was a Charlie Horse. It was like a little horse that had a crutch. Though.
Manny the Bison.
Yeah, we've had this conversation.
Manny the Buffaloes are separate.
Yeah, but I like those. I forget if it was Uncle Yossel or if it was Uncle Sammy who gave me one. I remember I had one, I think, at one point. I was offered one, or maybe I tried to steal one. I'm not sure, but those were really cool. But yeah, Charlie Horse, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. I'm glad that I don't have a Charlie Horse tonight, but it's an awesome screen name. But yeah, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing info, or slide into my DMs on X, ICSEG. There you go. And also, yeah, just awesome news. Great
pass
to
along
hear.
Our regards to your sister.
Yeah, pass along your regards. Awesome to hear that she had successful heart surgery.
That's terrific. That's the best.
I'm actually
going
to have surgery. I found out earlier this week. I'm going to have a polyp removed from my nose. It's called an inverted.
Richard Polyp is finally being removed.
That was my joke. I mean, Dave, I told. Shout out to our friend Dr. Jordan Hawkman, an ENT doctor. He's amazing. But yeah, I found a polyp. I have something called an inverted papilloma. So I'm going to have surgery at either St. Boniface Hospital.
Can we do a live broadcast from Ezzy's surgical room? Is that something
Drew, you guys, and nobody, organize? No, you guys are nobody that watches the show regularly should be surprised, because I have severe sleep apnea and sinusitis. Yeah. So there's no.
While they have you out cold, can they maybe finally repair your ACL that you tore about 25 years ago?
That's funny. No, I had the surgery. Shout out to Dr. Peter McDonald, who's the man, the Jets team doctor. But it wasn't that I didn't have the surgery. It's that I didn't do the physio. I think I did physio for sense. like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I'm like, I don't need to do this. And then that's why I was wearing a knee brace for 2 months, because I didn't do the rehab.
And that's why he walks with a limp, everybody.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, but I'm not sure what we were talking about before.
Once they put you under, Ezzy, they got at least 3 or 4 different things they could probably fix on you in one small swoop.
Yeah, you might as well just do a lobotomy at that point, right?
By the way, I like that Ezzy already, we're still talking about surgery, and Ezzy lost his train of thought about the fact that
I'm getting surgery. So yeah, apparently there's it's going to be a 4 or 5 day. It's going to happen some point in, I think, late April or early May. So hopefully I'm not going to miss, some playoff games at that point, because the Jets,
you miss enough shows already.
Yeah.
Ooh, fair enough.
Hey, Mr. Florida, you're going to be missing some shows as well.
Yeah. You're right. I got to give you the gears every now and then. We love you. And, and I'll tell you what,
feeling is mutual, Drew.
If you get through your surgery, you can get the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment that day. There you go. That's it for tonight in the post game show. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m., the Illegal Curve hockey show. So that's just in a mere few hours from now, in about 10 hours from now. So rest up, everybody. We're going to do it all over again. We got to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors. That's our friends at Farmery Beer. I've been having one of those during the course of tonight's program. Of course, Seagram's and Fireball, that's next to me as well. Unfortunately, they don't have any Boston pizza handy, so I wish I had a big box of Boston pizza. Rolly's Transfer, Tough Duck, Betway, Zappia Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, Grid Park, and of course, our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Ezzy's going to be there tomorrow night. Colby's going to be there tomorrow night. Yep. I'll probably be there at some point tomorrow night. Dave M., I don't know if you're going to be there or not, but well, if you might be there too, we'll have a big old party tomorrow.
I've got a bucket of fruit to throw at Drew, Dave. I've got my tomatoes and my avocados, my bananas. I'm ready to go.
There you go. We appreciate that. Steph Tlev is at Rumors tomorrow night's sold-out show already for the 7:15 show. Limited tickets available for 9:45, rumorscomedyclub.com. Thanks to all of you for joining us. In case you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback here, there, and everywhere, and be sure to tell your friends, tell your family the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And of course, after on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. We'll see everyone again in about 10 hours time. Until then, be safe. Good night. Good luck. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve post game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.